All right, y'all come on in. We're starting with the screen already set up today. It's usually whenever I do a class and I've got to share the screen, it takes 10 minutes for me to get through that piece. I thought, you know what, today we're going to start off with a bang and we're just going to have me in the tiny screen because we are going to talk today all about da-da-da-da. I'll start when I'm ready and why that's keeping you stuck. So I think this is really important. Now, I'm just going to do full disclosure. I have been wanting to teach this for a while because I think a lot of you, there are so many things in life where you are waiting to feel ready before you do it. And that is the ass backward way to do it. And so I think it's really important. I'm also going to tell you about camp at the end. So for all of you who want more information about camp and stuff, save all your questions to the end. I may already answer them for you. But this is just an important topic because if at that camp, I wrote it because I want you to be an unstoppable person. Unstoppable people are not waiting to feel ready, ever. And that's why I want to talk about this today. So, whether or not you're going to come to camp or you are not going to come to camp, I just think this is going to be helpful. I think it's going to apply to you. And you know how I am. If I'm going to take your time, your valuable, precious time, I'm always going to try to make sure that it is well used. All right, so let's get started. So, I want you to just think about how many times in life have you said, I'll start when I'm ready? And if you had to sit and think right now, I don't know anyone, including myself, who has something that they would like to do. And we're just waiting for this epic moment where it's just like, whoa, the angels sing on high, the clouds part. Somehow wisdom and readiness is bestowed on us. And now we're highly motivated and ready to go. That is not how it works. So, for some of us, the way that we do it is we do it when we are restarting our weight loss. That is a big example that I see very often is that women sit around, they have had a, let's say, a really busy period of life, or something rocks your world, like a partner gets really ill, a parent dies, something major happens in your life, and it knocks you off your weight loss game. And now that that stressful period's over, you know you want to get started, but you're waiting to feel ready. And then for a lot of us, it's when we have a big goal or we have a dream that's kind of deep inside of us that has nothing to do with our weight, we sit around and we say, I will do that when I'm ready. And hell, some of us do it with like the little things, like just cleaning up our house. Like, I love to do a closet purge, but I will tell you, I can't even tell you how many days and weeks and months I will wait and walk into a closet every single day that's disorganized, full of shit that I don't want to wear anymore, but I'm not haven't taken the time to purge and get rid of, have a hard time finding what I want to wear because there's about 10 things in constant rotation. But I always feel like there's this going to be this moment that comes when I'm going to actually feel ready to do it. And we spend so much of our life waiting, and it is a miserable experience. It's not terrible, but there's just yuck and residue and friction when we're doing that. So, usually, I think most of us have something in our life that we really want, and it can be something big, it can be something little, and we just wait to feel ready to go after it. And we get caught up in waiting to feel motivated. Waiting for confidence. Sometimes it's motivation. We think we need to feel motivated. Sometimes we think we need to feel confident. I need to know this is going to work before I do it. And then a lot of times, this is the king ding dong. We're waiting for the right time, as if there's going to be a time where everything that we think gets in our way will magically disappear. The seas will part and we can easily walk through. So, the problem is, at the end of the day, we have a lot of reasons why we just keep waiting. And the waiting can go on for months to weeks or years. So, I want you to just think about how long have you been just about to do something? I am about to lose weight. I'm about to say, chase some dream that I have deep inside me. I am about to do something. And waiting will always feel like a damn good idea. I promise all of you, it feels patient. It feels really smart. Sometimes waiting even can feel responsible, like it is the right thing to do. But it actually is harming us and it's costing us a lot of our life. And I want you to really hear that. It ends up costing us precious months, years, decades of our life. So a lot of women do spend years sometimes hoping, wishing, and dreaming for things. And it's like they're standing at the start line of their life and they're just waiting for the feeling of readiness to come, tap them on the shoulder and say, "Now's the time. I've done all I can. I've got everything ready for you." And it just doesn't work that way. So what I want to do today is I'm going to tell you why the readiness feeling never actually comes. Because even if you've started something in the past, I promise you, it wasn't because you actually felt ready. There were other things going on. So if you are someone who's sitting on the fence all the time of life, about to start things, waiting to feel ready, waiting for your confidence, your right time and shit, it doesn't have anything to do with laziness. Sometimes women confuse not doing things right now. The now is not the time. These things need to happen before I can. I've got to feel this way or I can't do it. Sometimes we judge ourselves and say it's because we're lazy or because you can't do the things that you want to do. I promise you that is not it. Here's what's really happening. No one's ever showed you what feeling ready is really all about. And you probably don't even really know how to know when you're truly ready. We have it in our mind it's supposed to feel a certain way, or we have it in our mind it's supposed to be a certain way. And you've got to change that definition because it's wrong. Because right now, you don't really understand what ready is at all, which means you're never going to feel it. And I don't want you sitting your entire life on the sidelines waiting for the wrong fucking thing. So, as a Nobius woman, you've got to be done with waiting. I need all of you to say that right now. I am done with waiting. And you've also got to know why feeling ready keeps eluding you. Now, I want to say this because I think this is important. You can be done with waiting to do something and not have to go after it. Sometimes we just need to take an honest look at the things we say we want. And if we keep waiting to feel ready and we kind of know that the ready is probably never going to come for us, we need to quit wanting it. Now would be the time to no longer wait to feel ready. Now would be the time to be really honest with yourself and say, "I don't know that I'm ever going to be ready for that anyway. So I am going to just say, I don't want this right now." Because if you're waiting to feel ready, I'm just telling you right now, it's not the truth. The truth is, you could be ready at any moment that you choose to. That's going to be a big lesson today. Readiness is a choice. It's not something that just lands upon you. It's not because things became in alignment. So instead of saying, "I'm waiting to be ready, I'll do it when I'm ready," say, "Right now, I'm not going to do this. I choose not to." Sometimes that's the most empowering thing that we can absolutely do for ourselves because it will be in that moment when you tell yourself the truth, "I don't want it right now. Otherwise, I'd just go do it. I'm choosing not to do it right now. Otherwise, I would just go do it." If you immediately disagree with yourself and you feel terrible about it, then you are ready. You're just scared, which are two different things. So when we start telling ourselves the truth that readiness is a choice to go after what we want, and we're going to choose to be scared, it might not work, and we're going to choose to like make time for it. We're going to choose to let other things go for it. That's just choices. Okay, so let's get into the ways that waiting shows up in your life because we don't always recognize that what we're doing is sitting around painfully waiting. So the first one is you probably call waiting to be ready being realistic. So let's say you want something in life, and before you even really go after it, you tend to make it smaller. You tell yourself, I'm just being realistic. Now, I think a lot of you do this. I hear y'all all the time. It's like, instead of declaring that I'm going to lose all my weight, I'm going to be realistic. And all I'm going to do right now is work on my water. Just going to work on water. There's no risk in water. I don't have to solve my life's problems when I drink water. And I'm not poo-pooing you drinking water, but what I am telling you is it gets tricky because there's a kind of realistic that's actually good, and there's a kind of realistic that's actually you being a reactor to fear. It is based in fear, not in goodness. And they almost look the same from the outside. And that's why I wanted to kick off with this one. So, the good kind of being realistic is when you make the first step to whatever it is you want so small that you're actually going to do it. So, it's a lot of what I teach y'all all the time. I'm like, look, let's break this down into small steps. The smallest of step that doesn't overwhelm you, one step that you can take so that your brain is not getting freaked out thinking about the 4,000 things you should be doing. It's like, how do we make this so small that you can do it? So let's say you want to start walking. You might say, I am going to walk 10 minutes every day for a whole month and no more than 10 minutes. I one day want to be walking for an hour. But I know my joints right now. I know that I have to get used to making the time for it. Like, I know that my family is not used to me doing anything for myself. So they're going to need to see me do things for myself in slow increments so that I'm not freaking out feeling guilty. They're not freaking out wondering, where the fuck is mama? Why isn't she in the house right up my ass 24/7? So, the thing you want is still the thing you want. I want to be someone who is a daily walker and she goes out for an hour a day. But we took a realistic way, which is I picked a starting point so small that I can pull off, and it's my first steps on the way there. Now, that's what I call smart. That's meeting yourself where you are at. We are not lessening our goal. Okay. Now, the fear kind is when you don't make the step smaller. You make the whole goal smaller. And you call that being realistic. And you do that so that it feels okay to you to kind of shrink things down. Because wanting what you want and not getting it, you're worried about it hurting. You're worried about it devastating you, disappointing you. Like, we think about all, like, oh my God, if I do this and I don't make it, here's all the horrible things I'm going to make it mean about me. And here's all the horrible things I think everybody in the world's going to think about me. And we end up like shrinking our life into this really safe, tiny spot, but it also doesn't feel good. It just feels like we're always trying to be guarding ourselves against pain and hurt. So, somewhere along the way, you started wanting less on purpose. And so it will sound like this: I'd love to lose weight, but I've been fat my whole life. So, I'm just going to be happy if I stop gaining. I'm going to be realistic. What I really need to do right now is just stop the gaining. That is shrinking your goal. Well, I always wanted to go back to school, but it's too late for me. Girl, I'm in my 50s or my 60s. So I'm just going to figure out how can I just be happier in my current job? Sounds lovely, right? Sounds realistic. Except you really wanted to go back to school and chase something that you never chased before. I want to love my body, Corinne, but I have felt this way my entire life, since forever. So I'm just going to settle for not just hating what I see. Notice how different that is from the first thing. Here's another good example. I'd love a real relationship in life, but in my age, nobody's looking. So I'll just be glad if I can have some company. Notice how this is like not realistic. This is, I'm so afraid I can't have it. I'm going to settle for less than what I want so I don't have to feel bad in case I can't get it. That is a bullshit way to live. So here's what we're doing in every one of these. We say what we really want in the first half, and then in the second half, we talk ourselves out of it and we call it being reasonable. When what we're doing is we're actually just afraid of something. And talking yourself out of it isn't coming from the smart place. It only is coming from one thing, what you believe about yourself. So when you say it's too late for me or at my age, that's not you being realistic. That's you letting a very shitty thought about yourself decide how much you're allowed to want and to have in life. And so rather than working on the shitty thoughts, you make your goal less. So you keep shitty thoughts about yourself while also reducing what you could have. There's nobody saying you can't have it but you. And I'm just gonna say, the other thing you can work on is the landing. You, first of all, don't know if you won't achieve it because you ain't trying. So you don't need to sit there and lie to yourself saying, I know what will happen. No, you the fuck don't. If you absolutely know what's going to happen in the future, get out of your job, take every money out of retirement, go to Las Vegas right now and hit a blackjack table and play it relentlessly because you're such a good fortune teller. And you don't even know what's happening because everything feels like common sense. So you just spend your life settling for less. You get a less than result in life, and that result becomes one more reason to just keep being realistic. You just keep proving to yourself over and over again, you should be realistic. But it ain't because you're trying so hard and not getting things. It is because you're reducing things and you're now proving to yourself that's all I get out of life. And that's self-imposed. So there's one word you need to be listening for when you're thinking about your goals, and it's but. That's the word that tells you that you're about to settle for realistic instead of, I'm going to start with something realistic on my way to this amazing thing I want. And I'm going to see what happens. I mean, y'all gonna have to quit being a butt to yourself. That's the bottom line. So be listening for butt. It is so rare. Like, I'm sure there are good examples of when butt is a powerful word. But so often, if you think about everything I teach, whenever we say blah, blah, but, everything after that is usually ass. So if you want to improve your life immediately right now, listen for how often you're saying but, and then get coached on it by us. Listen for how often you're saying but, and then write about it. Why am I choosing to believe everything that comes after but? Why am I not challenging myself to believe something different? What is the harm? I think this is a powerful question. What is the harm in believing things will work out, that I will succeed? Because the worst thing, y'all think the worst thing that can happen in the belief is it doesn't work out and I'm an ass to myself. That is the second worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that can happen is that it was always going to work out for you and you didn't try at all, that it was the time you were going to figure it out. That day that I sat on the couch and decided to lose weight for the umpteenth million time with zero fucking proof that I would be able to lose weight, if I had said, but I've never been able to do it before, and I just left it there, I would have missed my one time it was going to work. I would have missed the one time that my shit would have gotten together. I would have missed the one time that my entire life was going to change, all because I would sit there on the couch and talk myself out of something because I thought I knew better. You don't know better about your future. Your future is to be created. Your future is not something you can just see. You go out and you create it. And then for the second worst one, the one where I get hurt when I don't succeed. You don't have to be hurt when you don't succeed. That is a choice. You can also be really proud that you tried. You can be disappointed. You don't have to rip yourself a new asshole. You don't have to put yourself through the same torture you had the last 100 times things didn't work out for you. This next time could either be the winner or it could be the time that you have your own back if it doesn't work out. It's choices. Y'all have got to see that your life is full of choices and you're not giving them to yourself. The choices are everywhere for a better life and you're not taking them. You're just sitting there and you're letting whatever you think be the gospel truth. Question everything you think because it's one interpretation of a million interpretations you can give yourself. So, here's some examples. I want this, but I've been fat my whole life. I want this, but it's too late for me. Whatever comes after that but is what makes you settle for less than you deserve. Now, I want you to pay attention because this is important. That thing after the but, I just was telling you, is not a fact. It is a thought or belief that you have about yourself. It feels like a fact, so you never argue with it. Like when y'all say, like, my mother is a good example. My mother was in her 50s when she went back to school. She went to college to become a nurse. Now, how many of you right now are in your 50s telling yourselves you can't have another career? You could never go back to school. You like, it's just too late for you. Now, if my mother, and I'm going to tell you, she worried she was too old. A ton. And she decided to go back to school anyway. At her age, everybody in her class was in their like early 20s. They didn't have kids. Hell, she had grandkids. But my mother decided, I am older than everybody else, but I'm going to go back to school anyway. And I'm scared to death I'll be too old. I'm scared to death this won't work out. I'm scared. I remember her. She was scared to death of the fucking math. My husband tutored her for 2 years on math. And I remember them sitting down in our basement, going over algebra and all the shit that Mammy had to learn in order to become a nurse. So very often, everything that you're using to hold yourself back is literally a belief or it's a thought, but it's not true. You know you're not too old if somebody else in the world at your age has done it. You need to stop saying I'm too old. You need to start saying I'm choosing not to because I keep telling myself how old I am. But it literally, I could if I was willing to get over that. Tell yourself the truth, all of you. You've got to argue with the things you believe. You have to tell yourself, that's not 100% true. This is also true. Otherwise, you're going to let yourself talk yourself into smaller goals in life. Smaller goals feel okay, but they don't blow wind up your skirt. They don't make you run the streets proud and happy and telling people the shit you're accomplishing. So here's the formula I want you to use. I want this dream or I want this goal, but some belief about myself is laying right here. So I'll settle for less than I wanted. That's what I want you to start telling yourself. I'm gonna say it again. I want, and you insert your dream, like I want to lose weight. I want a new job. I want to go back to school. I want a divorce. I want to get married. I want to repair a relationship. I want to love my life 100 times more than I do today. For a lot of you, you need that goal. Some of y'all have amazing lives, but you know you could turn the volume up But for some reason, you keep yourself tamped down in it. Maybe that's your goal. You don't need more things in life. You need to love the one you have more. So I want my dream or goal, but here's the belief I have about myself. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I've never done it before. Everybody will think poorly of me. They'll make fun of me. People won't support me. Like, there's 100 reasons why we have a butt in there. And then I want you to tell yourself. So I'll settle for, and it's this. You need to see when you're doing that. You need to learn the formula so that you can catch it in your head and catch yourself when you're doing it. And then you need to tell yourself, and that is a problem that I am willing to solve. See, realistic always feels responsible. So you don't question it. Why would we question something that just feels responsible, that just feels like a good idea? But realistic is usually just very safe. It's very comfortable. And a safe, comfortable goal doesn't light our lives up near as much as a goal that's exciting, a goal that's going to challenge us a little bit. I'm not asking y'all to go out and like have epic goals. But I get so sad and so angry when I see women not even going for good goals in life. If I could do anything for all of you, it would be to help you stop holding yourself back so that you can decide what it is you really want. And sometimes you decide you don't want things that you've always wanted, and that's okay. But I want you all to become good decision makers. Y'all are defaulters. Too often, you're just defaulting to whatever it is you've always believed and always thought about yourself. You're defaulting to whatever your mind's telling you, and you're not being a decider. You're not deciding if what you're thinking is the thinking that's good enough for you anymore. You're not deciding if you're going to go for something, irregardless of how scared you are, or irregardless if it's never worked before. I want you to become deciders and not defaulters. So, what you actually want is a goal that has a little nervous excitement in it. So, part of you on the inside is like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this. And there's another part of you that's like, okay, I'm willing to try it though. So, it should feel challenging, but also doable. Your big goal shouldn't feel safe, but it shouldn't feel dangerous either. There's a gray area. And the gray area is where most of you need to be living most of the time. I think a lot of you is like, I've either got to be safe or I'm just like, my balls are out and free to the world for anybody to kick at any moment. It's like, you know what? We can wear a jock. We can do that. We can have a nice big goal. And it can be one that excites us, but it's not defeating us right out the gate. So we want goals that challenge us, not defeat us. Okay, so here's the other reason you stay stuck being realistic, and it's the big one. When you finally do go after something new, you are going to make mistakes. Stuff's not going to work out right at first. That's just how going after any goal always works. It's like the air we breathe. If you're going to go after something new, shit is not going to work right. And if you already believe that you're not good enough, then every time you make one of those mistakes, you're probably beating the shit out of yourself over it. You're not making mistakes a normal part of the process. You're making mistakes a catastrophe. And your brain is smart. It goes, well, I'm not going to put us in some kind of position where you're going to treat me like garbage. So, what does your brain do? Hey, this is not a good idea. Don't do this. Whatever you do, don't start this. So, it's two things that you've got to work on in this situation. We got to work on what comes after your butt. And we also have to work on how you talk to yourself when you mess up all along the way. Now, at camp, we're going to go deep on both of these. On both of these, this is where we're going to hammer down because you have got to be able to have your back through mistakes. And you all know this, you're no BS women. What do I teach y'all all the time? We're always teaching you that mistakes are not to be catastrophized. Mistakes do not mean something's fucking wrong with you. Mistakes are not the invitation to just beat the shit out of yourself. Mistakes are part of the process. It's how we learn. It's how we figure out our real needs. It's how we figure out the next thing we're going to try. Mistakes pave the road to success. Like, I just want you to think about, like, if we're like sitting there, let's say we're in a car and you and I are driving down the highway and they are paving the road in front of us. That is like the mistakes are the workers. They're figuring out the road, they're getting out the gravel, they're laying the asphalt, they're smoothing things over so that when our car rolls over it, now it's smooth. So you've got to see your mistakes in a new way. So the real answer isn't to settle for the safe version of your dream or to never start at all. It's to go work on what is it that I'm believing? What comes in my butt? The reason why I keep waiting on it. Let me clean all that up, which you can do with us coaches. It ain't like it's hard. You got coaches in your back pocket sitting on the website right now, being like, they're ready to type an answer to you. And then you've got to agree ahead of time that mistakes are going to happen. And I am probably going to hit my goal because this time, my number one goal, my number one step is to make sure that every time I have a mistake made, that I teach myself how to learn from it. That when I hear the bullshit come up, I stop my bullshit. I'm like, no, I knew that was gonna happen. All of you say this. When we are trying to change a pattern, your old thinking is supposed to come up a lot. So if your old thinking is mistakes are terrible, oh my God, you fuck face, why'd you do that? You're not good enough. Why do you ever bother? Like if you go ham on yourself, then your job is to get really good at hearing it and saying, I knew you would come. I'm supposed to think all of this because it's the only thing I've ever allowed myself to think. And now I'm deciding. I'm going to be one of those deciders Corinne keeps talking about, not a defaulter. I'm not going to default to that hammer that that voice is putting on me. I'm going to decide this is what this mistake actually means. It doesn't mean I'm broken. It means I don't know how to stop it enough yet. It doesn't mean that I can't go back to school because the first application didn't work out right. It means I need to send another application somewhere else. I need to figure out what on this application might have gotten me rejected so the next application is better. How about that? You get to decide. So you've got to get really good at, I'm going to be the best mistake maker ever. And I will tell all of you, do you know who makes the least amount of mistakes in life? The people who ain't doing jack shit with their life. My daddy doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's lived in a garage apartment that I was born in, that's outside his mama's house his entire life, worked a factory job until he worked for his brother. He does not have a lot of relationships. He does not put himself out there for anything. He does not read books. He doesn't do shit. He also doesn't make very many mistakes in life, but he also doesn't have much either. The people who accomplish the most in life, when you look around and there are people you admire, like I know some of y'all admire me. Corinne didn't get here because she doesn't make mistakes. Every fucking day, something's not working right in my business and in my life because I'm always trying to do bigger things. And I'm not even trying to conquer the world. I'm just trying to conquer my little piece of the world that I want to conquer. And things that I try don't work most of the time. If I was cruel to myself, I would shut this business down tomorrow. Because every day is an opportunity to be cruel, or every day is an opportunity to learn something new. And you got to decide who you're going to be. Most of you have decided to be the cruel person. And today you should decide to be the other one. And you're going to have to get used to it. And it's going to feel fake. And it's going to feel awful at first because it's a lot easier to beat yourself up. It's going to take mental energy. It's going to make you tired. It's going to make you work to be nice to yourself. But I want y'all to hear that. So many of you will bitch and moan about being nice to yourself. I'm like, listen to what you're arguing for. Don't argue for the brain that is right now trained to see mistakes as terrible. Argue for the part of you that's going to have to work at being fucking nice to yourself, at being the best cheerleader of yourself, at being your number one and the only support system you'll ever need is you. Argue for her. She deserves to be argued for. It's just like in da Dirty Dancing. Y'all gotta quit putting baby in the corner. She does not belong there. So keep going realistic every time those beliefs showing up, and you will end up with a very safe, comfortable, but half-assed life staring back at you. It usually doesn't feel bad, but it always feels like something's missing. It feels like you're settling. It feels okay. That is the cost. That is the cost of waiting to feel ready. That is the cost of being realistic. It will never be a dramatic failure. It's just a slow settling for less than what you really wanted out of this life. Now, the second way waiting shows up is you're waiting on the right time. You'll start when things settle down, when work calms down, when the kids are back in school, when the holidays are over, when this busy stretch is finally behind me. And when you do get going, you need things to stay that way. So the second life throws you a shit sandwich, somebody gets sick, work blows up, something goes wrong. What are you doing? Well, I gotta stop now because if I had it in my head that there's a right sequence of things that have to be going on during life, if anything stops there, that means I have to stop the goal. Because now is no longer a good time anymore. And you're back to picking it up when things settle down again. Because in your head, you think you need everything to be calm. You need all kinds of time. You need nothing going wrong, or you just can't give it your all. So you wait for a time where everything perfectly lines up. And when you're in it and something goes wrong, it feels like you should stop because that's the right thing to do. Like you're being smart, that you're prioritizing your life, you're making sacrifices. And you make the promise that you'll get back to things once things settle down. But the problem is things don't settle down that much in life. So when you tell yourself that you'll start when things settle down again, you're really just telling yourself you're never really going to ever start. But the worst part is you're setting yourself up to never finish. I have not met one single woman who's ever had a goal, big or small, that everything aligned perfectly so that nothing got in her way ever, and she finished. Every person I know that's ever achieved anything, whether that's just weight loss, it's a new job, it's getting their kids through high school, whatever it is, life never lined up. They decided that they were going to achieve things despite of it. They were going to figure out how to do it while this is happening. It's just like when I tell y'all with weight loss, the best time to lose weight is when life's a shit show. Because if life is busy and life's a shit show and you're trying to lose weight, you have to work on a lot of emotional eating that during the perfect times you don't work on. This is why so many of you get caught up in the trap of I can do good for a little while. I wait until things are right. And then all of a sudden, I can do things, but I never learn how to lose weight when it's hard. The second it gets hard, I go back to emotional eating. When things are easy, I don't have to work on emotional eating. So you never fix what's actually wrong. And then you wonder why you're a fucking yo-yo when it comes to losing weight. Why am I up and down the scale all throughout my life? Well, that's one reason. And you've told yourself that you can only go after what you want when everything's easy. So on that first hard day, you're convinced it's just time to give up, quit, and take your foot off the gas. And the problem is life always has the hard times, and you're not teaching yourself how to go after your dreams through ups and downs. You teach yourself, start, quit, start, quit. You have to be able to go after what you want in the middle of real life with all of its normal problems, because that's the only life you're ever going to have. All of us have lives that have good times and bad. Every one of us. And we're acting as if that shouldn't happen. I'm like, well, welcome to being a fucking human. Show me someone who hasn't had ups and downs in life. So waiting for things to be calm or perfect is just another way of waiting to feel ready. You've got to be able to keep going when things are hard, because everything is going to be hard at some point in life. It's not always because something goes wrong, it's just part of life. That's what we've got to learn. And once you learn it, that is what will always keep you going. Because right now, the second things get hard, quitting feels like an obvious, responsible choice. It doesn't usually even feel like quitting. It feels like the right thing to do. I should stop. I'm being responsible. And you can't talk yourself out of that in the moment on your own, because in the moment, it feels right to stop. So, this is one of the things we'll also work on at camp. It's exactly why you're going to have coaches there. It's why we have coaches inside No BS if you're going to work on this on your own. Because when you hit hard days, you need someone to help you work through hard days. You've got to stop quitting and using that as your butt excuse. I would be doing XYZ, but this is happening. But this is going on in my life. Stop making your life an excuse. Make it a reason to figure out how to do things while those things happen. And the biggest one, the one underneath all of it, is you're just waiting to feel ready. You've got something that you want to do in your life, and you're waiting until you have this magical feeling of readiness. You're probably waiting to feel motivated, and you're probably waiting to feel confident, because you figure that once you feel those things, you'll finally feel ready to do something about it. So you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And the ready feeling you're waiting on never shows up, so you don't start. So here's a common reason this happens. I want you to look back at the times you actually did start something and you stuck with it. I bet there was something behind it. So let's say that it's weight loss. A lot of women, they were able to lose weight for a trip. They were able to lose it for a wedding. They were able to lose it for a reunion. They were able to lose it because their doctor said, if you don't get some weight off in 3 months, I'm sticking you on some meds. And if it wasn't that, it was also usually some kind of triggering event, like the diagnosis. Sometimes you got started because you hit your rock bottom moment. Maybe the scale tipped a number that you swore you'd never tip, and then you decided to get started. So I want you to think about it. The last time you started on some big goal, somewhere in your head, you decided that's how starting works. Something has to happen. Some dramatic thing happens. Then motivation shows up, and then you get to go. So now you're stuck waiting on that feeling to show up again on its own. And we've got to stop waiting for triggering events. The moment you think you want something, I want to teach you that is your triggering event. Wanting it is enough. You do not need something horrible to happen. You do not need the stars to align. You do not need your confidence. Your desire for things is enough to be the triggering event to start. Waiting to feel motivated before you start is like waiting to feel confident about driving. So let's say that you've got a teenager and they are supposed to be confident at their very first driving lesson simply because they sat in the back seat watching you drive their entire life. I mean, since a baby. I mean, they watched you drive on the way home from the hospital right after they came out the vajayjay. You know what? Watching your ass drive your entire life doesn't make the first time I'm behind the wheel of a car and told to drive feel like, I got this. I'm super confident. I know everything. Throw me on the interstate right now. They still got to get behind the wheel, scared as shit, bad at driving before any confidence is going to show up. Because you've got the order and feeling ready and motivated backwards. Motivation and confidence, they're earned. Everybody say it with me. Motivation and confidence are earned. We do not wait for them. You can't wait on something that you have to earn. That'd be like you saying, like, I don't know where my paycheck is from no BS. I mean, I don't work for them, but I mean, where's my paycheck? Bitch, if you want a paycheck, you better come in here and earn. Gotta earn like MJ. Gotta earn like Kathy. So motivation and confidence, they don't come in the beginning. They come after you've gotten started and after you've been going at it for a while. The thing that comes first is courage. Write that down. When I want something, I don't need to be waiting to feel ready. I need to use courage to start. Because right now, you've got a whole pile of thoughts about what you can and can't do. If you're old, too young, too fat, too out of shape, too late. I don't have support. I'm all alone. Whatever it is. And every one of them feels real and feels fucking true to you. And they feel true because you've thought about yourself the same way for so long that your brain has never once even tried to think about any shit any differently. So you will need courage to start because all of those thoughts are going to make it feel scary before you feel one bit ready. So here's how this works. First, you've got to get to where you can hear yourself screaming all your bullshit reasons at you. We got to turn up the volume. You got to be like laying in wait. It's like we're all going on a safari and we're in the bushes with our binoculars and we're just looking for the wild ass animals. Well, your wild ass animals are your wild ass thoughts that go on in your head. Most of y'all are not acknowledging them. You're hearing them, you're obeying them, and you're defaulting to them, but you're not looking at them. So we got to hear the shit we think. And then you start challenging those old thoughts in the moment. We're not going to argue them. We're not going to get frustrated by them. We're not going to think that they have to go away in order for us to do jack shit. All we're going to do is we're going to get really good at talking to them. We're going to reason with them. We're going to tell them something else that also could be true. I don't care if you don't even believe it. All I need you to think is, well, somebody could believe that. I mean, it's possible it could be true. I don't feel like it's true because I believe this other thing so much, but I could see reasonably that that also could be a way that I could think about this. That's all we got to do. And then immediately, this is the most important thing. You go do something with that new way of thinking. If you were the person who thought the new thing, what would you do in that moment with that information? And then you have to go do that before you feel ready. Before you feel confident, before you feel motivated, you have to have the courage to go do the things that if you thought differently, that person would be doing in this very moment, in this exact situation. And then the only other thing you got to do is acknowledge it. Doing something new, the way the new you would show up, is way better than what you were going to do when old shitty was running things. And so we just have to say, okay, I did this thing. The fastest way to be a goal achiever, the fastest way to feel momentum, motivation, and confidence is to do things that right now you don't think you can do. Is to do things right now that you're scared to do. It is to do things right now that you don't believe will work out for you. Your brain is good at watching you do nothing. So it just thinks that that is the way things are. That is why it believes everything, because when I think this, I follow through on it. That is the only reason why it believes those things. It's not because those things are true. It's because every little thing that you think you're following through on it. And now we're going to interrupt that pattern. And then when our brain watches us over and over again, do things that we're scared of, do things that we think won't work, try things, make mistakes, keep going. When our brain keeps watching that, the next thing you know, your brain starts feeling ready to keep going, motivated to keep trying, on the hunt for the things that are going to work. That's how it works. You can't wait to feel ready because when you do the new thing, your brain gets to watch you. It needs to see you doing new things before it can believe new things are what it should be getting you to do anyway. So it doesn't matter if in the moment you feel like it. What matters is, will you do it anyway? Why will you do it anyway? Why is doing nothing more harmful than doing something? And that's also really important when it comes to taking actions toward your goals. A lot of you have it flipped. It's like doing nothing is less harmful than doing the thing. You've got the thing that you need to be doing so scary and full of so many harmful things that it's like, well, it's no wonder your brain repels it. You've made it so awful in your head. Because you're not challenging it. So your brain is never going to feel ready to do something that you've painted a picture of disaster. They'll be like, hey, y'all, I hear there's a tornado down the street. Anybody want to run outside and chase it? Let's see if we can get sucked up. We're not going to be motivated to go do that. We're going to be motivated to get in that damn basement and hide. So we got to flip it. You got to make doing nothing painful, doing nothing scary, doing nothing the thing that your brain is like, oh, I don't want to do that. And then the other thing has to pale in comparison. Doesn't that feel amazing? It just got to be less scary than the alternative. That's it. So then some of those little things that you do, some of them are going to work, and your brain's watching it. And that is when little things start working. Your brain takes note and is like, huh, that's working. I want to get her to do more of it. Motivation finally shows up to the party. Motivation is always late. It's like the party starts at 7. It's going to end at 10. Motivation likes to start at 9:30 and be like, let's go. Come on, stay up till midnight. Motivation never shows up on time. It never comes early and it never comes first. It's the last fucker to arrive at the party, but it's a damn good time when motivation shows up and everybody loves it when they're there. And nobody's mad when motivation shows up. So we do not want to wait till we feel ready. And we for damn sure want to quit waiting for awful triggering events to actually do things that we want to do in life. We don't want to wait for those. We don't want to wait for a wedding, a diagnosis, a horrible thing. We want to get good at starting when we have desire. We want to get good at challenging all of our fears and our doubts. We want to know that we're ready simply because we want it. That's it, and it's always good enough. So when you start telling yourself something new and you are out there doing things, you're proving the old way of thinking wrong. And that is the most powerful thing that you can ever do. when you want to change how you naturally think. And we're going to be talking a lot about this at camp through a lot of different situations and scenarios. So your goal happens in the 6 inches between your ears. It doesn't happen because your calendar freed up. It doesn't happen because somebody started to support you. It doesn't happen for any reason other than the 6 inches between your ears. We work on what's going on in there. You get so caught up thinking it's all the doing. It's what I eat. It's the walk-in. It's the little tasks. But none of the doing sticks until you deal with what's going on in your head. I promise you that. But I want to warn you, you're going to want to do a lot of the work on how you think first. This is the death trap that most of you fall into. You're going to want all your thinking to be perfect and exciting and motivating, and then you'll start doing things. You'll say, like, I need to do all my thought work first. I've been working on my thought work for years. No, you haven't. You have not. If you want to do something and you want to work on your thinking first, I give you 48 hours and then you got to start. 48 hours of thinking about it and working on your thinking stuff, that is going to get you as much as it's going to get you to get started. Everything after that is courage. Courage. Courage to go challenge everything you think and believe. Courage to fail and get back up again. Courage to make mistakes and change how you talk to yourself. It's going to take courage to do all of it because you're never going to do enough mindset work to clean everything up so perfectly that now not only are we ready to start, but we've got every confidence. We know that it's all going to work. It's not going to happen. That's why you sit on the sidelines of life. You've got to change how you think while you're still thinking old shit. And then you change how you act when you don't want to do things. And we act based on new thinking. We don't act based on the old. That's how you get your brain to start talking to you differently. It's got to have shitty thoughts. You got to insert new ones. You got to do things when you don't feel ready to do them. Your brain watches this the entire time. And the next thing you know, shit's changing for the better. That's how it works. This is how it went for me when I lost my weight. I didn't come out swinging. I knew that every time I started too strong in the past, I couldn't keep up. So I was realistic in the good way. I said, okay, I know how I've done this before. So this time, let me just give myself a really solid chance. Now, all I did was wake up every day and think about one little thing I could do a little bit better that day. And when I saw myself doing a little better, I started going, huh, maybe I can do this. Maybe I was wrong about myself. That is when my momentum started. And once it was building, I started feeling more motivated. Confidence started coming because I was proving my old ideas about me wrong. Like the girl in me that thought I had to do everything at once or it didn't count, I had to go prove her wrong by showing her I needed to do something every day, not everything. So, how do you get over your thinking? It keeps coming back and it feels so real. There are just two ways. One, you can fix this right inside the membership. You already have access to everything you need inside an OBS. You can take your thinking straight to Ask Coaches. We have got courses all over NoBS where we walk you through changing how you think. There's the relationships course. There is the self-love course. Go look. There's a journaling course that y'all sleep on all the time. There are plenty of courses out there that if you're like, my thinking is such a fucking problem, and that is my biggest goal right now, is to understand my thinking in such a way that I can start creating the life I want. And then the second way is if you come to camp. Instead of doing a course here and there, that you're trying to squeeze in between everything else going on in your life, come spend 2 days with me and just work on this relentlessly. Same work, but we're gonna do it in a tight, compressed timeline, start to finish for 2 straight days where you're just like baptized by fire in how do I get myself doing things? How do I get a dream of mine declared? How do I work through the things that are going to get in my way? How do I change my thinking so I can keep going? So if you catch yourself going, I just keep waiting to feel ready, I'm going to tell you, 2 straight days will fix that. It'll fix it pretty fast. So what I want to do now is I want to tell you what we're going to do together at camp and why it fixes everything we've been talking about this whole time. So if you've already signed up for camp, congratulations. You are coming to camp. You can leave now because all I'm going to do is talk about camp. And if you already have signed up for camp, if you want to drop a note in chat about why you decided to come to camp, how many camps you've been to, the gloriousness of camp, feel free so that the people who are scared to come to camp will know that it's a great experience. So Unstoppable is this year's theme. It's 2 days, September 12th and 13th. You're going to come to Dallas. This is the first time we've ever been to Dallas. We've never had camp anywhere but in Nashville. And you're going to be in the room with me, or you can do everything virtually. So we always have two options. We've got one version where you're in the room in Dallas doing all things with all the No BS women, or you can do it from your couch. And over those 2 days, we're going to be doing three big things. So the first one is see. And then we're going to decide, and then we're going to do. So, with the C, what we're going to do is we're going to take an honest look at what's really going on inside your brain. So, remember when I talked about the 6 inches between your ears is the most valuable like real estate that you have? We're going to work on that because what you believe about yourself, the fears that keep showing up, the thoughts that make you hesitate, doubt, and quit, that is what we've got to work on so that you can decide what you really want. And that's what we've been talking about this whole class is all that stuff in your head that's been keeping you on the sidelines of your own life. And this is where we're going to get in there and we're going to break it all down really quick. And we're going to use one little process the entire time. The next thing we're going to do is decide. And this will not take long. Once you clear out a lot of the shit in your head, it's a lot easier to decide what you actually want. So for some of your big goal may be it's my weight. Maybe for some of you, it's to go back to school. Some of you really want a new career and you're afraid that it's too late for you. Some of you really want to take care of like your retirement. Maybe now your biggest goal is to like love your life more than you ever have in life. That's been one of my goals for the last 2 years, is to look at my life and love it and not look at my life in fear that I'm going to lose it. I have spent so much of my life, I've got a great husband. I mean, a terrific husband. We have such a good marriage. I mean, I can't even tell you what a great marriage we have. I know y'all must think that I'm just some kind of ate up bitch about it, but I really love my marriage. And for years, I didn't even want to acknowledge how blessed I am. I didn't want to feel the depth of it because I was always afraid, but what if I lose it? And that is a terrible way to live. When you have something amazing in your life, when you have a person in your life, or maybe it's your whole family, maybe it's like the life that you and your partner have built, whatever it is. To have an amazing life and to be too afraid to feel it, I don't think that there's a better goal in life than to have that one. So, loving the life you have more is a very worthy goal. So, whatever it is that you want, we're going to decide. You're no longer going to sit around and not know. Some of you know what you want, you've been too afraid to go after it. Some people think they don't want anything. But they're just afraid to admit what they want because they think they can't have it. And some people don't need to add anything to their life. They just know they're not feeling it at the level they absolutely could, that there is an amazing experience in their own life sitting right in front of them, waiting for them to grab onto it if they're not too afraid to do it, which has been me. And then the last thing we do, and this is what we spend the last, we're going to spend literally one session on decide. The way that I have the first day structured, it won't take you but a hot second to figure it out. And then we spend the rest of it on what we're going to do about it. We're going to talk about how do you do the things you already know you need to do, even when you're scared. And then by Sunday night, you're going to walk out of there knowing three things you do not know right now. Exactly what you want, the first thing you got to do to get it, and every obstacle that lives in your head will be brought right out into the open. So that you can now start dealing with them when they show up instead of letting them be a reason to stop. So here's everything that you get. 2 full days live with me, whether you do it at home, whether you do it in person, you get the whole see, decide, do method. The coaches and all the other members are going to be right there with you all weekend. You also get every recording to keep as long as you're a member. We always give y'all amazing replays. And if you do decide to come in person to Dallas, you also get the big party night on Saturday. It's the big ass no BS party. It's always a damn good time. We do a lot of dancing. I usually walk in beautiful and I walk out a sweaty fucking hot mess. And every year, I swear to God, after we dance, I'm like, I don't know how much more my legs can keep up with this. 15 years ago, I was an amazing dancer. Now I have to like work out a little bit before we go and stretch, or Corinne's gonna pull something. You also are gonna get a no BS swag bag, and every single person who comes to camp gets a picture with me. So we will be doing the traditional picture line where we will walk you through and you will get a picture with me. So you can come up, we can hug real quick, and we'll catch the moment on camera. Also, if you are coming in person, we just found out today that the hotel is going to be throwing in something special for our members who come. You will get, it's because a lot of you are going to bring some family with you, because we're staying at a really nice hotel. You get the extended pool hours. So they're going to keep the pool open longer for us so that if you want to go to the pool at night or your family wants to go to the pool or whatever, it's there. We also, they're with the lazy river, I guess you have to pay for the lazy river. We don't have to pay for the lazy river. So we get the lazy river. And you do not have to pay the resort fee. They were going to have us pay the resort fee. We've been negotiating with them on some stuff. And it's so if you're there for the 2 nights, you'll save $50. So we don't have to pay for that shit. I just wanted to let everybody know that. Also, if you're ready, you can go ahead and sign up for camp right now. The virtual seat is only $2.99. You can pay in full, you can split it into 3 payments of $99.67. And if you can get to Dallas, the in-person seat is only $7.89. We try so hard to keep the prices way down. If y'all don't know, events are not cheap. And we don't do it cheap. We have lighting and we have a real filming crew that comes in. And I got coaches everywhere. And I mean, we try to do everything to make it a super amazing experience for y'all. And we always get a big room because this is just a pet peeve of mine, but I know a lot of you need are still at the place where you're trying to lose your weight. And I remember back in the day when I would go to events everywhere, and everything was always built for an ass that was about a size 2, maybe a 4 at most. And when you don't wear a size 4, you do not want to be squeezing between chairs and feeling like you're packed in like sardines. I like for y'all to have room. So we always make sure we usually get a bigger room than we need, simply so we can spread out. You know, hotels will say we can get like basically a bajillion people around a table. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to have them sitting on top of each other because then you can't concentrate and you can't pay attention. And I don't want you up in your head about you worrying that if you got to go to the bathroom, that you're somehow going to be an inconvenience, which you would never be. And at no BS, I hope that this is the one place you could come to, someplace in person. It will be the one time you feel like you really fit in. That is a promise. Our women always feel like they fit in when they come to in-person camp. In fact, most of them say this is probably the one time I've ever went somewhere and I actually did really feel like I belonged and I wasn't judged and I could just be me. So if you do want to come in, we have some seats left for the in-person. It's just $7.89, 4 payments of $197.25. So with whether you come in person or virtual, we have the monthly payments. Whatever's going to make it easier for you to be there is what we want to do. And then one thing that I've never done before is I asked myself what would make camp 10 times better for you. And the answer was really simple. It's like, how could I offer y'all a way to work one-on-one with me? That is probably the biggest ask that we have in No BS. People write in all the time wanting to know, can I work one-on-one with Corinne? And as much as I would love to, it's just really hard. So I had Chris build me my own version of Ask Coaches, except this time I am the only one who's answering every single question. In fact, I looked right before I came on this call because all the current campers, you already have access. You got your email this morning and I already had 30 questions sitting there waiting on me. So I have another meeting after this and then I'm going to be going. I do want to say this. In the Corinne, we're calling it Corinne one-on-one, only campers are going to get to use it. I use an app called Whisperflow where I talk and it turns it into text because I talk faster. I talk about 170 words a minute. I type about 100. So if it sounds rambly, it's because I was actually talking. So just as a warning, it'll still be great coaching though. It may sound super legit because it'll probably have every fuck and shit and I don't know, asshole that I can even muster up. So the second you sign up, our coaching starts. So if you sign up today, you have all the way to September 7th. If you wait, the longer you wait, the less days you've got with me. So from the time you sign up all the way to September 7th, you and I can work on whatever you want. It can be your goals, your life. You can ask me about stopping at enough. I don't give a shit. You can ask me about how much sex I have when I go to Vegas. I'll tell you, it's a lot, by the way. So you're not going to show up to camp cold. I'm going to be coaching you all the way up to it so that you feel like you're walking in ready. Now, let me just remind you, Corinne one-on-one, me coaching you one-on-one, it's going to go away though at the end of day, August the 12th. So you have them for now until August 12th to get signed up. So I wanted to give y'all plenty of time to sign up, but we're going to call it on August 12th. And then I'll just be working with whoever's coming to camp as much as y'all want to work. So the faster you sign up, the more time we get together. And we'll go all the way through September 7th. And then, so let's go over a few things you might be wondering about. Number one is some of you are sitting there thinking, I'd love to go to camp, but I've got too much going on. I don't really have the time, or you're not available that weekend. So the first thing I want to say is, make sure you paid attention to everything we just talked about because there ain't going to ever be a perfect time ever in life to do things. All right. You're sitting there waiting for that. There's no version of you where your life is going to be some big ass empty stretch of time where you can just focus on yourself all the time. So you can either figure out what you could do to make that time, or you're just going to do what some people do virtually, which is break things up into small lessons. So sometimes when people, they'll come to camp and they'll come virtually and they'll come in and out, which means I've got to like, some of y'all gonna want to go to church on Sunday and you're gonna need to miss some on Sunday. That's fine. You will get the replays. And so you'll be able to watch it later. If you are going to be out of town, and I know that this is also happening, I just want to apologize. I know this happens to be a Jewish holiday. It is so hard to get space. We couldn't even get space in Nashville at all. We had to go all the way to Dallas. That was the only weekend we could even get to Dallas. The main reason is the way we set things up, we try to make it like an Oprah show. And so we can't just rent any ballroom. Our ballrooms have to be able to be renovated for television. They have to have plenty of space for women to move around and things like that. And so it limits us on our space. But I do want to apologize to all of our Jewish members. I know that it sucks. We are going to try really hard when we come back in 2028 to like try to find that. We're starting 2 years early this time to try to find a place that works where it does not like fuck people over, essentially. So I do apologize for that. But you can always just get the virtual. And then if you have friends in No BS, y'all can all agree to watch the videos yourself and then talk in small groups about it. You can do this a lot of different ways. Just don't delay your dreams because you have plans one weekend. Don't do that to yourself. You might be wondering if virtual is as good as in-person camp. I think so. For some people, it's actually even better. The magic of camp isn't whether or not your ass is in the seat in Dallas or your ass is on your couch. What goes on in your head is the only thing that's going to matter. There will be some people who will sit in Dallas and fuck around on their phone and not pay attention. Now, I do tell everybody to put their phones away, but just because you're in the room, it doesn't guarantee that you have a better experience. You create the experience you want. And so, whether you're at home or whether you are in Dallas, it doesn't matter. The people who come virtually, we have had so many people write into us, and they love the virtual the most because they feel like they can focus better. Some people end up getting like their own hotel room. They do all kinds of little things. They tell their whole family, "Hey, I'm going to be in the basement all weekend. Don't bother me." So the question isn't really, is virtual camp as good as being in Dallas? The question is, how am I going to make the most out of camp, whether I come to Dallas or I do it at home by myself? Every year, we have plenty of members who only ever do camp from home, and they just make sure they're going to have a successful weekend. So, like I said, you could rent a hotel room, you could take a weekend for yourself. Some people rent an Airbnb and like several. We've got several groups of No BS women who are in accountability groups. They get an Airbnb and they watch all of camp together. And they make a whole weekend out of it. So there are lots and lots of ways to get it done. And again, you'll have the replays. So if you have to check out for an hour or two because you need to make lunch or take your dog for a walk, go to church, whatever it is, it's not like you're going to be completely lost when you come back. I design it so that that won't happen. And here's another one I hear a lot. What if I don't have a goal yet? Every time I try to think about it, my mind just goes blank. And for some of you, you think, well, I'm really happy with my life right now, so I don't have any big dreams or goals. Camp is for both of you. If your mind goes blank when I ask you what you want, that is a sign that you really need to be at camp. A lot of women have wanted things for so long and not gotten them that they absolutely quit even letting themselves dream at all. They won't even let themselves think about it. For fear of the disappointment, because they associate wanting something with getting hurt. And so your mind immediately says, you can't do it. You failed so many times. And so you quit dreaming so that you don't have to relive the I want something and your brain slapping you down. We're going to work on that. We're going to fix that because that is part of fixing what goes on inside your head. Or otherwise, you're just going to be stuck in the life you have right now. And it might not be a bad life, but it's not the one you secretly want. So you don't have to come to camp knowing what you want. My job is to help you remove all the blocks stopping you from knowing it and then help you figure out something you do want. And then we've talked about this a lot. A lot of you are sitting there with a really good life. You are happy. You don't have any more big dreams. So I want you to know that very often, I will say, I don't want you to set any more goals outside of you. I want the goal to be for you to be able to look at all of this and every single day, it feel amazing where you're not turning the temperature down anymore. You're not limiting yourself on loving this life as much as you possibly could. That is a very worthy goal. And then some of you feel like if you want more out of life, that somehow that means that this life isn't good enough. That's not true. We're going to break through that because you can love your life and still want more. A good example is when Logan was little, I bought a minivan. I loved this minivan. It was a Nissan Quest. It's one of the best things I'd ever bought in my life. And I drove it forever. And then when he got old enough to really be getting in and out, and I didn't have to carry a bunch of shit, and we didn't have diaper bags anymore, or whatnot, well, I wanted a sports car. I wanted something sporty. Well, that I didn't have to hate my minivan. It didn't mean my minivan was no longer good enough or whatever. I still loved it. It had an amazing purse holder in it. I mean, it just had some shit in it. I just wanted something different. And I think you can do that with your own life too. Just because you want something else does not mean that you have to shit all over this life or that you are shitting on this life. Sometimes we just want more because it's exciting, because it's different. And that's okay. So at the end of the day, there are so many things that we can set goals for. You don't have to want a big one. You don't have to want crazy things. I just want you to find something you want to work towards, and so that you can be like, okay, knowing when you have a goal, that's what can make you unstoppable. Because the only way that you can become somebody who doesn't stop themselves short of the things that they want in life is you have to keep going after things and teach yourself how to quit stopping. And that's what this camp is about. And it's why I picked that theme for this year. And if you just want to stop the negative talk in your head, you want to wake up thinking good things, you want to love your life 10 times more, you want to cut your worry in half, those are also really good examples of goals that you could set. And you could become unstoppable trying to reach them. So there's all kinds of dreams. And at Unstoppable, we're going to find something for you, one that's uniquely yours. I will teach you how to go after it. And this is the last thing, the big one is for those of you who are thinking about virtual camp, is how do I focus at home? So maybe you have a hard time focusing at home because the laundry's calling, the dog wants a walk, you got little kids needing something every 10 minutes, or you might even have ADHD. So let me give you some ideas. A lot of women who do virtual camp, they set up a room in their house and they get it really comfortable for them. So let's say that, especially if you have ADHD, maybe you want to do camp with a weighted blanket on you. I know when I'm doing something that takes a lot of focus, I got to have a certain candle running. I cannot have any background noise. Like, y'all should see me when it's time to focus. I'm telling you, I'm doing all this research on ADHD right now. I swear to God, I think I have it. But like I got to get everything going in the right way, and I need noise canceling headphones so I don't hear other things and I'm only hearing what I'm supposed to be hearing. So if you have ADHD or you just lose focus really easy or you're just easily distracted, having my one voice in your ear typically can help a lot. But if you know you're the kind that needs to walk around, you fix it to where you walk around and you listen. We also have a quiet room inside where there will be one room dedicated to where there'll be no Q&A and there will be no chat. So there's no weird buttons, little bubbles popping up and things like that. You can always go to the quiet room. And then if you have a question for a coach, you leave the private room and you pop into any of the other ones and you ask your question. Once it gets answered from a coach, you go back to your quiet room. We really do, I promise you, we try to think of everything that we can absolutely think of to make things easy for you. So, a lot of women who do the whole hotel room for themselves on the weekend, that is one of the ways that it allows them to focus. They also order really nutritious breakfast, lunch, and dinner to keep them going all day. They have snacks and water in their room, and they really create it like it's going to be a self-care weekend. A lot of them plan to have a long bubble bath or whatever you like at night once camp's over. I've even had women schedule to have somebody come and give them a massage at night once camp ends. And they really treat it like a weekend of like change and evolution for them. So if you're worried about focus, we will help you brainstorm it. If you just go to our Facebook group for all the campers, there are plenty of women who will share all their tips and tricks for what's worked for them in the past, because we really do want everybody watching from home. We want you to feel like you're just as much a part of everything as someone who's in the room. And people tell us all the time, it's like binge watching something on Netflix. You can't wait to see what the next segment is. Some of you are probably thinking, I just need to think about it a little bit more. I do not want you riding the thorny ass fence. Nothing feels worse than having thorns in your ass. Trust me, you do not want that. You need to get off your fence. If you think you're going to remember to do this later or that you're somehow going to need to feel more ready later, don't do it. If you think you want to do it, get the courage to go ahead and sign up. Don't do all the shit we just talked about this entire class. You're probably never, ever going to feel more ready than you do right now, sitting right here, finally understanding why you keep feeling ready. Okay? And if you're not going to come, then be a hard no and stop thinking about it. The big thing is get off the goddamn fence. It does not feel good. It's going to keep you feeling miserable. Right now might be your triggering event. If you want to go, That is all you need. So go sign up. Let me welcome you with open arms. And then we will have a most amazing 2026 Unstoppable Camp experience. All right. There's only two questions. So let me grab those super fast. We'll get out of here because I know I've been like talking forever to y'all. Oh, there's more than two. Wait. I'm 7 weeks post-op knee replacement. I've gained weight since then. Haven't gotten on the scale yet. May was at my all-time low weight and in maintenance. Trying to give myself grace, but don't want to see that number on the scale. So how do I get over it? Carrie, you're already living in fear now. What is that number going to do to you that your imagination isn't doing to you right now? That's the simplest answer. Anytime I'm ever doing that, I'm always telling myself, Corinne, it ain't like you're sitting here imagining. I bet the number's amazing. It's like you are imagining all kinds of shit, living in fear and pulling yourself back. If you will just rip off that Band-Aid, see what it says, the best thing to tell yourself is once I know and know exactly why it happened, I had fucking knee replacement or a knee surgery. Okay. It ain't like you're having more knee surgeries. The thing that made you gain weight's done. So let's just move on. Let's get to the part where we're going to get back to where we were. And you weigh in might be the one thing that'll get your ass going. Right now, you're just sitting there living in fear and most of us eat over it. Where do we stay in Dallas? The hotel is on the camp sales page. So if you just go to the page, the hotel and its information is right there for you. I can't remember the name. It's a Marriott. I think it's called Anatole. Yeah, Hilton. It's a Hilton, not a Marriott. Hilton Dallas Anatole. DJ Jerry will not be there. We couldn't get DJ Jerry. He's a Nashville-based guy, unless he's touring with all the people he tours with. So there's that. That's another reason why we like to be in Nashville, because we can get our DJs. For the one-on-one questions with you between now and camp, can all members see our personal questions or just you? Everything in all of Ask Coaches is always anonymous. So even if you post a question and it gets posted to the board, nobody else in the membership can, everybody can see your question and your answer, but they don't know who asked it unless you're signing it. We don't attach a name to anything in Ask Coaches. It won't even be that way in mine. I can see who's asking questions on my end. We have to be able to see the user. Otherwise, the software won't work. So, but it's not like I'm looking at your email address. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, she asked. Y'all, Corinne ain't got time to sit around and worry what the fuck everybody's answering. I'm just busy coaching. So there's that. But let's say you ask something super personal. Well, no one's going to know it's you. Doesn't matter. You just need to ask your damn question. And that works in Ask Coaches too. We don't publish names. The only time a name is published is if somebody writes in and says, like, you know, Corinne Crabtree, like, you know, see you later, Kathy, it's Corinne. You know, like, we don't see those names. Will we be able to see other questions, or will we only be able to see our own? You'll be able to see everybody's questions. We do that on purpose because people learn. It's going to work just like Ask Coaches does. It's no different other than I'm the only one answering things. The last chance to order a box for virtual camp. Yes, I just wrote that down today. If you're going to want the virtual box, I swear to God, I wrote it down. Bailey, I did not write that date down and you told it to me. Oh, it ends Thursday. I was looking for a date. It ends on Thursday. So today is like what, the 28th or 29th? You have until Thursday. You can just add it on. It's $37 if you want to add the at-home package, which means you'll get a workbook printed, you'll get an OBS pen, you'll get the sticker. You do not have to add it, though. You will get it virtually. You will get your workbook virtually. We just had so many people say that they just don't want a box of stuff, that we decided this year, just like, if you want a box, you can get a box. If you don't, we're just not going to like include it. So that for all of you who don't like getting the workbook and shit that you have to throw away, it was a really good add-on for people. If I can only watch the virtual camp, will there be coaching available, or do we just go to ask questions? So you're watching virtual camp. The coaching will happen in the Q&A, and it will happen in the chat. I will be coaching from stage people who are in the room, but the coaches often feed me questions from the virtual audience. That is where the bulk of our questions come from. So a lot of times when I'm on stage and we're doing a segment, there will be questions coming in that a lot of you are asking. And so the coaches, they put it what's called on my down stage monitor. So I can see them. I'm like, all right, we have a question a lot of people are asking, and I just answer them live. It is I'm just really good at answering questions. So that's kind of how it works. It's like we talk about a topic. Y'all do like a worksheet or something that I design that's specific to getting you from point A to point B on whatever topic we're on. And then we open it up to where I coach people and I answer live questions and things like that. We are not pre-selecting people this year. So there will be mics. And then we will just, when it's time, people can line up and then we'll just get through as many people as we can in each segment. Will the campers see our one-on-one questions to you? Yes, all of the one like so in Corinne one-on-one, all campers will have access to it, and it will be just like Ask Coaches. You'll go in, you'll see your question, you'll get a notification. Me and you will be talking in the back and forth. If you want to read what other people are asking and getting coached on, you can. You don't have to if you don't want to, and no one will know the wiser as to who's asking what. And I know a lot of you think that your shit is so private. I am telling you right now, there's no one sitting in here that has such a unique situation to them that no one else in the whole membership suffers from it. I have coached women that have been violently abused in all ways as a child. I have coached women who binge eat their face off. I have coached women who have alcoholic husbands and they're trying to decide if they should leave them. Your topic feels heavy to you. And I'm not saying it's not, because those things are heavy. But the one thing that I worry the most about y'all is that it's almost like you take your thing so personally and so privately, and you feel so much shame around it that you don't get the help you need because of the shame around it. And I just want to tell you, no one's going to know what, who is asking what. Please, if you can't do anything for yourself other than stop letting shame prevent you from taking steps forward in your life. Whatever's happened to you in your past, whatever's going on in you right now, shame is never a good reason to not work on it because shame is self-inflicted. It is a self-inflicted wound. I don't feel like something's wrong with you if somebody abused you, if you're in a, like, I have coached women who have been in marriages that, if for years, the husband has cheated on them, drank like a son of a bitch, hit them, all kinds of stuff. I don't sit there and think something's wrong with you for staying. I understand why women stay in those situations. I also understand when a woman is trying to work through what she wants to do in those situations where she needs someone to help her at least see her own power and control so that she can make an informed decision for herself. That's the kind of shit I think about. So, very often when we are in a painful place, a very painful place for us, we often feel shame because we think it's our fault. We shouldn't be here. I should know better. I should have done things differently. None of that is true. It's a story your brain is telling you. Especially, I should have done things differently. How? How should you have known different things back then? Like, if you, at that time, that was the best you could do. If that, at that time, you didn't have options. If at that time, you didn't know what this person would turn out to be. You're not a fortune teller. You don't have a crystal ball. So how should you have like showed up differently? We just, most of you don't have somebody taking a look at your shit and offering you perspective. And sometimes when you just have somebody else read your own situation differently than you, it helps you feel a little bit more open to changing how you're thinking about you in relation to your situation. So I just, you know, yes, everybody will be able to read the questions, but no one will know who's asking them. So it will, it is just as anonymous as y'all asking me right now, and you're logged in as an anonymous attendee. I don't know, like all the people that ask this, I don't know who you are at all. And that's the same way it works in Corinne 101 and in Ask Coaches. How do you see asked questions? Guess I've misread or missed that's available. So if you go to Ask Coaches now, it'll show you every question that's been asked in the last 90 days. I think we keep the last 90 days up. But you go and you can just see all kinds of questions. And when you go to my page, once I start answering things, you're going to start seeing the history of the questions. You said you were working on 2028 date for camp. Will there be one in 2027? No, there will not be one next year. We have found that in this day and age, it takes us 2 years to get ready for a camp now. We used to be able to get, like, I'm going to tell you, it used to be a lot easier when we had a much smaller, when we didn't do virtual, we could throw up a camp every year. Pretty easy. And the more that we've done the way that we like to do it, it's not as easy to get space and to get the kind of space that I want for y'all's comfort and for us to be able to make this an amazing experience. So we will be back in 2028. So there will not be a camp in 2027, just so y'all know. So if you're thinking about coming in person and you think you're going to come in person next year, you got a 2 year wait. So you might want to try to make it to Dallas this year. All right, that is all for the questions. Y'all have a good day. I hope to see you at camp. If not, I'm going to be seeing a lot of y'all in Corinne 101. I got a quick call to Ask Corinne. It's Corinne 101. We changed the name on purpose so it wouldn't be confusing. And then one more question. I have a big barfy goal. It's doable, I think, but I'm stalling myself on starting it. What questions can I ask myself to get moving? Everything that I told you today. Rewatch this when it comes out. It's fear. What are you afraid of? In the formula, like I have a big barfy goal that I think I can do, but I'm scared because I'm nervous because I'm not starting because find all your excuses. That's how you'll figure out what's stopping you real quick. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.